Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
We're in the middle of, our series that we are calling Tough Questions, and it's a three-week series that we, man, as I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago, months ago now, the idea was, let me just get my timer going here so I can keep an eye on that. The idea was, not that I really follow that at all anyway. It's funny because I push start on that thing almost every week and I never look at it. So I don't even know why I do it. But this idea of tough questions is to build a series around your questions that you have. So we threw up a number, right? And you guys have been texting your questions. We'll have that number. We'll show that number in a little bit, too, again, so that you can take a picture of that and shoot some of your questions out this next week to help form and build out next Sunday's sermon, okay? That's what I've been doing. I've been taking your questions and trying to build a sermon around it. That's today. I don't want to preach, honestly, on what I'm preaching on today. I'm doing it because I got to follow through with your questions. Does that make sense? So y'all, the reason I want to preach on it is because there's some really tough questions today, actually. Okay, I like the easy ones, you know, like who died on the cross? You know, let me preach on that, people. No, there's some toughies today. And let me just read them to you. And I kind of combined two different questions here. But this is one of the questions. Let's just see it here. What was the devil doing in Eden? Good question. Why did God allow him to tempt his perfect creation? Now that's the actual, that's the quote, okay? That's the question that came in. And then this is a second person, and I'm kind of combining a couple things here, and even some other questions that came in, I'm kind of bringing some of it together. If we can assume that God knew the fall of man would happen and sin would enter our lives, why did he choose this path anyway? You ever ask that question or a question like it? I mean, essentially asking a question something like, why does God allow evil to exist? Why does God let evil be in the world? You ever ask that? That's not a fun one to really say. Dad, I'm not excited about this morning. But, you know, I was thinking, well, man, the question's thrown out there. It's asked often. Let's go after it a little bit here. And here's the answer. Here's the answer. Why does God allow evil to exist? It's not my best shot, but this is probably my second best kind of run at it. I don't know. I don't know. So, band, go on up and get us to Gringo's early. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, that's kind of the answer to that question, honestly. So I'm going to say more than that, and I am going to preach a little bit here. But in the end, the answer to this question, the way it's kind of worded like that, the answer of like, why does God allow the serpent in the garden and stuff? Great question. I don't know. I don't know who asked it. Fantastic question. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know. Why God allows things like yesterday's shootings to happen. I don't get that. I can't wrap my brain around it. There's a real sense in which there's a part and there's aspects of it that God has simply not revealed to us. So I don't know. I don't know. As you ask that question to a church or a Christian church, a biblical, you know, Bible teaching church, that's kind of a faithful answer, honestly. I don't know. If you ask that question to somebody that's living from an atheistic worldview, really the answer should be, I don't know. If you're asking a question to somebody who's coming at it from some kind of spiritual or maybe it's a materialism kind of worldview, whatever it might be, whatever worldview you might ask that question of, I mean, this is really a question that has stumped people. I mean, people talk about it. People think about it. And I'm going to talk about it more here in a minute. But really the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. What does that do to you? You go back to school? Well, yeah. No, I mean, that's a good question. But I mean, man, some of the, it's a tough question. It's a good question. They're good questions. So let's say a prayer and let's dig in and let's see where God takes us this morning. Lord, the answer to this question, we don't know. We don't know. God, you know. Teach us what you want to teach us this morning. Open up our hearts and our minds to hearing from you, the things you would have and the things you would tell us. And help us to not only hear with our ears, but also our hearts, God. Lord, help me to stay away from things that aren't true this morning, because it can be tempting to say things that simply aren't true. And help me to just be faithful with your word, with your word this morning, what you have to tell us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, last year I went, I took my kids, my two oldest kids, hunting. And I got a picture here. This was us in the woods. We were out in the woods right up here in Sam Houston National Forest. Cora and Ariana, my oldest kids, I took them out hunting, and it was just awesome. We were out in the middle of the woods. We were hanging out. I wanted to teach them just about, you know, wind, and so I'm talking to them about wind. I'm showing them my compass that I have. I'm just trying to teach them all the things that, you know, you kind of teach a kid as they're growing up and learning the hunting world. And as that's happening, it's getting darker. They're getting bored. We're not going to see anything, trust me, you know, the way we've been talking and smelling and all the stuff. Like, you know, we're not going to see any deer. So it's just kind of like owning the time spent with my kids, and it's going to be awesome. And so we're just having a great time, and it's continued to get darker and darker, and they're getting bored, and so I pull out the M&Ms, right? You always have to have M&Ms. And so I'm feeding them some M&Ms, and I'm hooking them up with some stuff, and they're just mowing down on the M&Ms, and you got to kind of go, so you got to ration it slow so that it's just kind of nice and easy, and they're eating their M&Ms, and it's awesome, and we're having a great time, and it continues to get darker and darker and darker. And this picture was actually taken when it was a little bit darker, and it was this night when I have the kids out, and we're out there, and I'm like, okay, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm kind of thinking this through in my mind. I really didn't plan this, but as it's getting darker, I was thinking, well, now's about the time when we would get up, and I would go back to the car. And instead of getting up and going back to the car, I just kept waiting. And I just kind of made this conscious choice. I was just like, I'm just going to wait a little bit. And I waited past when I would typically get up and just go out to the car, because, you know, I'm not going to see any more deer, and it's illegal shooting hours and all this kind of stuff, right? And it just gets darker and darker and darker until it's like dark. And I was like, okay, now we can pack up and we can head on out. And so we packed up and we started heading out. And it's like dark. It's like dark. And I'm waiting until, like, it's like a couple minutes later than, and a couple minutes into the walk. I mean, it's starting to just get dark, dark, dark until it's like black. And if you're out in the woods, right, you know, these woods, like the woods around here are weird. I don't know. It's like jungle around here. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, the jungle stuff of just like you can't. It's just so grown up. It's just crazy grown up. There's so much stuff. And so there's no light coming in from the moon. It's just dark. It's really black in the middle of the woods. And the kids are like getting closer and closer to me. And they're like, hold my hand, or hold my hand. And I got the light. And as I'm doing this, and again, I really didn't have a plan. And I don't even, as I've tried to reflect back on it, I don't even know exactly what I was trying to do. But I just remember thinking something like, I want to walk back to the car with them in the complete black. That's what I want to do. I want to walk back to the car with them in the complete darkness. And it was so funny because they were really struggling with that. Like, it was really scary. Ariana's really close, and she's getting closer to me. And it was really kind of freaky, and it is. It was really scary. And the reality is, if they were out there on their own, like, they would literally get lost. I mean, they wouldn't have a clue. But now, the entire time, I knew exactly where to go. I've hunted the area before. I knew exactly where I was going. I knew exactly what to do. Okay, I had my gun with me. I mean, we were fine. You know what I mean? We were fine. But they didn't know. They didn't know what was up. They were kind of scared. And there was a sense in which I wanted to teach them that they could trust me in the middle of the woods, and that it was going to be okay. There was a sense in which that was true. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the things I'm trying to teach my kids. As I'm thinking about these questions, why would God allow evil in this world? Why would he allow that to take place? And I started thinking about, well, you know, there's lots of people who might argue with my methodology here. And there's even some people who might say, that was kind of cruel. Why would you let your kids have to experience some of that? That's fair, and I could see that. But the one thing you couldn't question is that ultimately, like, I made a choice of, like, deciding to teach them something. You can't argue with me being, like, a bad dad. It's not like I left them out there or something. I mean, I'm not a great dad, okay, but I'm not, like, a bad dad. I'm a decent dad. I love my kids. Okay, I try to do the best I can with them. And so there's a real sense in which I love my kids like crazy. I wanted to teach them kind of something. I wanted them to actually, like, trust me even more and stuff like that. And so as I was thinking about that, and like, okay, what does that kind of look like for our relationship with God in this question of why does evil exist? Now, the one thing you can't do is take this analogy, this story, and make it the same as what we're talking about, right? We know that that's not kind of appropriate. We know the analogy kind of falls short, right? I mean, it falls short in that, you know, as we're working through the question of why evil exists, it kind of makes sense. I mean, some of the story kind of lines up when we think of something like, oh, you know, I got the flu, and God is teaching me that something like, you know, it doesn't all rest on you, Seth. You know, sometimes you can just stay at home. And so sometimes we think of an analogy like that, and we start thinking like, okay, I mean, I can kind of see what you mean about God lets us get the flu, and so he's teaching me something. Or maybe I'm in Walmart parking lot and I back out and somebody bumps into me and we have to exchange insurance and my day kind of went from a good day to a bad day. And okay, fine, maybe God is kind of teaching me something here. See, then the analogy kind of works, right? God has let me go through some darkness so that then I can, you know, he can teach me something. But it starts to fall apart, right? I mean, when you really press into it and you say something like, well, what about, like, kids getting cancer? I mean, like, there's kids that get cancer and, like, suffer for years and years and years. Like, I'm thinking of a kid, I know of a kid, like, from one of our mother churches who we pray for. Like, I mean, the kid's got cancer and he's just suffering through this. Like, then the analogy starts to kind of fall apart, right? The story starts to feel a little different when real brokenness and, like, stuff is happening. It starts to fall apart when you start talking to somebody who's been abused. And they're, like, going through some serious suffering. I mean, it's not just, like, getting the flu or getting a little fender bender, you know, at the store. They've been through abuse. And they're in the middle of abuse. And they're crying out, God, why? That's fair. And then, in that moment, I don't want my analogy to, like, keep trying to drive something. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just throwing out something I was kind of thinking about and trying to process a little bit. And okay, what is God doing in this? What does he want to tell us? There's a couple mistakes you can make as you begin to wrestle with this, okay? There's a couple mistakes. There's actually quite a few mistakes you can make, and there's two that I want to highlight. The first is this. You don't want to explain away evil. You don't want to just explain it away. Christians do this. Man, Christians do this all the time. I've heard this. Just explain it away. What can start to happen is you can actually, and it's called something, okay? This was a term coined by a theologian philosopher kind of a couple hundred years ago, a theodicy. It's a way of explaining evil away, essentially. And what you end up doing is you end up falling into other errors as that's taking place, as you begin to just try to explain it away. And I was thinking about some other things. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get, from a Christian perspective, oftentimes you're trying to get God off the hook. You're trying to get God off the hook, aren't you? Because you don't like this feeling of, like, God being in a corner. And you're kind of like, yeah, come on, God, why did you do this? Could you just kind of whisper it in my ear so I can, at least I can know, and all these, you know, heathens out there, you know, they won't know, but at least can whisper it to me. And we want to do something. We want to say something so that God doesn't look like the bad guy. And so we start trying to hold in tension these things like, God is good. He's really good. But at the same time, he's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all powerful God. How do you start holding those things into tension with each other? Because if God is really good and he's all good, and we start to think, well, maybe he's not all powerful. I mean, maybe he's really good. He's such a good God. And we try to hold that up. But maybe he's not as powerful as he really seems. Because if he was really powerful, why would he allow a shooting like that to take place? Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. Or we start to say something like, well, maybe he's all powerful, but maybe he's just not that good. You know, he's like, maybe he's, you know, God's trying. He's trying really hard. Cut the guy some slack. I mean, my goodness, the guy's got a lot of stuff on his mind. He's dealing with stuff all over the place. You know, my own little world down here, I mean, come on, there's wars and there's things. Cut the guy some slack. He's trying really his best. We can start to talk like that. We can start to think like that. Like, we have to get God off the hook. This guy, listen to what this guy says. This guy, Werner Ellert, he says this. He's a theologian from about 100 years ago. The creator, watch this. This is when you start to try to justify God and start dealing with him in terms of evil. The creator, who is the judge, now becomes the defendant. Well, the creature, you and I, now become judge over the creator. Rather than God justifying man, man now begins to attempt to justify God. You've done this. You felt this. There's a Jewish theologian I was reading a little bit about. This guy, he essentially got to a point where he had to say about God something along the lines of that we need to forgive God. We have to forgive God. Man, our culture feeds off of that. Because what are you doing? Our culture takes in this idea of the individual is supreme. The individual is supreme. And so what you say about God is what matters most. And so you run up against something you don't quite understand. You don't quite, I don't know how to deal with that. And so you start saying, well, maybe God's just not that powerful, but he's really good. And I want to protect his goodness. Or I want to protect that he's all powerful. And I don't actually want to involve myself in any of this, by the way. I'm not part of this problem. This is God's problem. And so we get to a point where we actually say, God, we forgive you. You're trying hard. It's okay. You got a lot of stuff going on. That's a mistake that you can make, is that you actually try to explain away God, or explain away evil. That happens all the time. Just explain it away. We become the judge. We have to justify God. Is that what it's about? Isn't it about God justifying us? Okay, second error there's other errors you can fall into. This one really stands out to me. And this is classic Seth Kunze language, okay? I didn't find this quote. This is just me rambling. When you try to figure out what God hasn't shown you, while at the exact same time paying no attention to what he has shown you. That's a mistake. Where we just are always in pursuit of all this stuff that he hasn't revealed to us, while at the exact same time paying no attention to the things he has shown to us. God has revealed some stuff to you. God has said some stuff to you. That's not bad to ask the questions. I'm so thankful for the people who ask that question. I ask that question myself. It's not a bad question. It's actually a really good question to think about and process. But I want you to understand that you can't pursue theologians call him the hidden God, things that God has hidden and simply not revealed to us at the expense of the revealed God. He's revealed certain things about himself, and he wants you to understand that. And that's why I was led to thinking about a text for today. I was like, which Bible text do I use for this question? How do I tackle this? And what I wanted to do is actually come at it from the most like simplistic angle I could come at it. There's so many different texts you could use, but this is the one I wanted to share with you today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did I miss a verse? I was kind of nervous about that. Hashtag boom. What does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking, why would God want to be our shepherd? Why does he want to be our shepherd? When you ask a little kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? None of them say, I want to be a shepherd. None. No kid has ever said, I want to be a shepherd. They want to be an astronaut. They want to be a firefighter. They want to be a policeman. They want to be in the army. They want to do cool stuff. But none have ever said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to college to be a shepherd. None of them. Why does God want to be a shepherd? Are you kidding me, God? You want to deal with sheep? You want to hang out with sheep all day? I mean, when you're a shepherd and you're out in the fields with your flocks by night, right? You're thinking about how you can either get another job or get to the bar or whatever. You know, you're trying to get out of there. You're not excited about hanging with the sheep. You're looking for another career. And yet God is, I'll be your shepherd. I want to hang with the sheep. I want to hang with the sheep. See, instead of the question being something like, why do bad things happen to good people? Really, as you read God's word, the question that you should begin to be prompted to, the question that should start to come up in your mind more and more is something like, why do good things happen to bad people? Have you ever asked that question? Why does God want to deal with bad people? Why does God want to hang with sheep? See, you've never asked that question before. But that's an interesting question, isn't it? Why do bad things happen to good people? What about why do good things happen? As you look at through Scripture, there's plenty of times where it's like, God is still hanging with these people? Are you kidding me? I'd have left them a long time ago. Wait a second. And he just keeps hanging with them. And he keeps blessing them. And he keeps walking with them. And he keeps forgiving them. And he just keeps pouring grace and mercy. It's like, wow, are you kidding me, God? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why does God continue to pay such attention to me? He continues to give me his attention. He continues to see me where I'm at. He continues to walk with me. He continues to discipline me. He continues to lead me to righteousness. He continues to lead me to the little river. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes we walk through the valley. He continues to be, wow. Have you ever asked that? A second thing that really stood out to me is something like this. There is a lot of things we do not know. But guys, follow me here. I'm watching the time. There's a lot of things we do know. There's a lot of things we do know. Jesus gets asked a question, something like this in Luke chapter 13. Okay? I want us to take a look at this. Luke chapter 13, Jesus kind of gets asked, he doesn't get it asked directly, but he kind of gets asked this question about why evil exists. Luke chapter 13, verse 1, here's what it says. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Okay, we don't know exactly what that is. We don't know exactly the situation here, but there's probably a situation where something bad went down. It probably happened pretty recently, and they're asking Jesus about it. Okay, what about this situation, Jesus? What about this shooting that took place? What are we going to think about this? How are we going to deal with this, Jesus? And listen to what Jesus says. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? That's, by the way, another mistake we can make. Whenever we see bad taking place, it's because somebody has done something wrong. That can be a mistake. Follow me here. Do you think that these Galileans were worse? No, I tell you, but unless you, watch this, look at verse 3 there. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? He's trying to answer. Okay, you want to know why this all happens. You're asking the question, why does bad things happen to all these nice people? They didn't do anything wrong. The people in Siloam, they lived in the suburbs, God. What does Jesus say? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't answer their question. He doesn't give them all the secrets and all the things that God knows, but he does reveal something else. And it'd be a shame to walk away saying, this Jesus guy doesn't know anything. Are you kidding me? You didn't answer my question. When the God of the universe is standing right in front of them and he's saying, repent. You are in need of me. You have a need that's so deep. I know you're asking this question, and it's a good question. It's not a bad question. I'll even talk about it for a second with you here, but ultimately, no. Okay, good question, but now let's just push pause on that for a second, and let's get to something that I want to talk about. Repent. Repent. Turn. Look. Do you understand the evil in our own hearts? Do you understand the evil and the stuff that we still struggle with in our own lives as we sin, as we make mistakes, as we do kind of rebel against God? Turn to me, Jesus is saying. And he's staring right in front of them. And I got a feeling a lot of those people walked away that day and were like, this guy doesn't know anything. And yet he is trying to be their shepherd like crazy. Oh, if you would just let me shepherd you. Oh, if you would just not try to walk away into the darkness. Just imagine if one of my kids were like, Dad, you don't know Jack. You don't know Jack. I'm going this way. And they just walk off into the dark. Guys, we do that. We do that. See you later. You can't answer my questions. You can't help me. And you go off into the dark. Jesus says, there's tons of things we do know. How much time do you spend on the things that God has revealed to you? The fact that God says, I'm with you. I'm with you always. Do you ever spend time on that? Do you wake up every morning and remind yourself of that promise? That God is with you? Do you spend time in the Word and give some thought to the fact that Jesus has actually gone to the cross? Like the God has revealed himself so clearly that I can literally say something like this to you today. 2,000 years ago, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God has most fully revealed himself to you. That happened. Literally. came in the flesh to save you. Do you ever spend any time thinking about that? I mean, the things that he's revealed to you, the things he's shown to you? Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that he hasn't shown you. Yeah, we can't answer the question of evil and why he allows something like that to happen. I don't know. I hold to that. I'm not trying to explain it away. I don't know. But he has revealed a bunch of other stuff to you, folks. He does reveal to you that he wants to be your shepherd. He wants to walk with you through the muck and the mire. He has revealed his incredible love for you. He's demonstrated it to you by his death and through his resurrection. He promises us newness of life that we can have even now. Are you kidding me? He provides for us. Here's an M&M. Here's an M&M. Here's an M&M. It's going to be a little scary here. Here's an M&M. I don't know. That makes sense to me. I'm not trying to make them the same. I'm not, because I get it. I get there's really bad. But he does provide for us, doesn't he? He does provide grace and mercy. I know in the darkest of our places, Jacqueline, in my places, we've had the grace and mercy of God showed to us. And I'm not trying to explain away the stuff you go through. It's really bad stuff. What you don't want to do is move to like the there's a Christian song out there, something like, you know, your mercy's in disguise or something like that. You know that song? I don't know the song. I don't like that song. You know, because it's actually, I get what they're trying to do, and fine, it's okay in a sense. But there's a real sense in which, don't tell me, don't call the bad stuff in my life good. It's bad. You know what I'm saying? It's just bad. Now, God works in that, yes, 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 yes. I get it. He works all things for all good for all the people who love him. Yes. But it's just bad. Lament is in the Bible. There's a book in the Bible called Lamentations. Right? Lamentations. And listen to this. A good shepherd, follow this thought. I should have had it as a quote, but I don't. A good shepherd never sends his sheep. A good shepherd never sends his sheep somewhere where he won't go himself. Right? A good shepherd never's like, hey, Billy Sheep, why don't you head in that little rock crevice and see what's in there? I hear something growling. Why don't you go check it out? But that's what Jesus did. He came. He entered in. He's been tempted. He's walked through suffering. And this is really hard to preach, but he's walked through suffering that's greater than you've ever experienced. Because we really hold to the fact that Jesus suffered hell. And so the consequences and pain of all sin, that's what he felt and experienced on the cross. You've never suffered? That's tough. It's tough to preach because I know there's some bad stuff. But he has suffered hell for you. He has suffered hell for you. He doesn't send the sheep into a place he won't go himself. God has died for you. He loves you like crazy. He doesn't get pleasure from your pain. And there's lots of stuff you could say that the Bible talks about. He does. We do understand a lot about this. Just not everything. That's okay. Don't freak out about that. Today, as I'm thinking about this and just kind of closing it up, I'm just thinking of my kids. Man, what a fool they would be. What a fool they would have been to say, Dad, you don't know where you're going. I'm going this way. That'd have been foolish. And as you run after the teachings of this world, as you run after other worldviews or other philosophical or theological thoughts about evil or whatever it might be, you will continue to run up against, and I would make this claim, you will run up against answers to those questions you have that are less fulfilling than the Christian worldview. You'll run up against answers and struggles that are greater than what God's word does reveal to you. I would hold to that. Okay? I want you to hear that. Because as you run after the ways of this world, you're going to find darkness and darkness and darkness, and all of a sudden you're lost. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're lost. You have done that. Is that you today? You're lost? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for God's word and how it reveals that Jesus, he'll leave the 99. He'll go after the one. He'll go looking for you. And he finds you. So thankful for that. And then if you go check out that text sometime, he actually picks the sheep up. With all the slime and all the muck and all the crap, right? And all the poop on the sheep. And he puts it on his shoulders and he carries it home. Our God does that for you today. And maybe you're right there with him. He's right there with you. And you're asking that question, God, what about this? What about this? What about this? Ask those questions. Great questions. Be careful to try to answer it away. And be careful to try to ask so much that you actually forget about the things he has shown you. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to walk with you. He loves you like crazy. I love my kids like crazy. It can be dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not fun. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That doesn't answer all the questions you have. But it gives you a whole lot. Do you believe that today? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the things that you have given to us. I thank you that you have answered so many of our questions. I thank you that not even our questions, you answer the need, the needs of our lives, our deepest needs, where the powers of sin and death and the power of the devil are at work against us, and you hit those head on. You hit those head on, Lord Jesus, and I give you thanks and praise for that. Thank you, Jesus, that you have met evil in the life and death and resurrection of you, and in your return, when you will come back and make all things new. Thank you, Jesus. We look to you. We keep our focus on you. Help us to not look, God, for other things. Help us to look to you and keep looking to you. Keep revealing this stuff to us, God. Keep growing us. Keep walking with us. Thank you that you keep doing that. Thank you, God, that you keep doing that. God, I thank you for your word this morning, Psalm 23. Thank you for that word that has been on the lips and the hearts of your saints for thousands of years, and today continues to be on our lips again. We believe, we continue to trust in you, Lord. You're a good God. You love us like crazy. You are in complete control. We've struggled with some sin in our life, and thank you for meeting that with your forgiveness this morning, that we can receive that. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit bless you and keep you this next week. May he continue to reveal to you the things he's got for you. May he continue to be God and maybe not share everything with you. Okay? You're not. He is. Go with peace in your heart knowing that. Think about that. Go with peace. You're not God. Hallelujah. He is. Keep focused on him this next week. Spend some time in the word. And the Lord bless you guys. We can always use help taking down. So if you can help, cool. If you got to go, that's cool too. See you guys next week. You're awesome. Have a great week. Booyah.